next presenter is Dr. Hassan Aoude.
That's right.
Oh, I got that right. Okay. Who's an instructor in the Department of Civil Engineering and Applied Mechanics. He's going to be showing us today how he uses screen recording technology, Camtasia, which is essentially supported technology here at McGill, and how he combines that with using a tablet PC to create instructional videos in the classroom that then the students use outside of the classroom, and they also use WebPT's My Courses chat room tool to exchange ideas about those tutorials that he produces. So we'd like to hear more about that.
So I'll just do this. Okay. So thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for putting this together. I think it's a great way to share some ideas. So as she said, I'm an instructor in the Department of Civil Engineering. And just before I start, I'll just give you a background about myself so it puts the lecture, the presentation into context. I did my bachelor's degree and my PhD here at McGill. And I graduated in February 2008, so not that long ago. And for the past two semesters, I've been a research associate and a course lecturer at McGill. So the outline of my presentation is I'll talk a little bit about my teaching experience, which is very brief, and how I used my PhD to get motivation and confidence for teaching. And I'll talk about some tools I used in my first teaching experience. So here are the courses that I taught. The first course is called Structural Engineering 1. It's a core course in our civil engineering program. And we had about 103 students, which is quite a big class for civil engineering. And the course that I just finished teaching is called Design of Concrete Structures. It's a little bit different because it's a final year design course. And here we had 63 students. So with my first teaching assignment, I was a little bit nervous. I had to get, you know, I wasn't sure how to tackle it. So at the beginning, I was thinking, how would I convey teaching in the best way? So I looked back at my experiences because I realized I have a PhD, so I must have a lot of learning experiences. So during my undergraduate year, it was like I was a rookie student. So I got my first learning experiences. And then through the years, up to year five, I've been exposed to many learning experiences, different teachers, different teaching styles. So you could think of me as a veteran student at that stage. And then you go on to graduate school, you get more teaching experiences, you get exposed to different another array of learning styles. And you get sometimes the opportunity to be a teaching assistant, so you get another view from the sidelines of how teaching goes takes place. And then at that point, some people may decide to retire, so get away from university academic life. But for me, I decided to stay with teaching and switch sides and go into the teaching and research area in academic. And so with my first teaching experience, I was basically a rookie once again, a rookie teacher now. But I had all this experience to go back on. So I tried to see what I could use from these, what I could learn from these experiences to teach. Excuse me. So, based on what I just, so I sat down in the summer and I tried to see what I could use to help my students learn. And so you could think of me with my first class. My first class, I considered them my guinea pigs, basically, where I would apply all these things that I thought of that would help me in teaching. So I'm going to discuss some of these tools that I use. The first is the use of a tablet PC. So a tablet PC is basically just like any regular laptop, but you have this tablet functionality. So you're able to get a digital pen and use that to draw on your PowerPoint, Word, and PDF documents. So you have the, thank you very much. So you have the presentability of these, nice presentation of these types of files. But at the same time, you have your Blackboard embedded into your PowerPoint slides or your Word. So you don't need the Blackboard anymore. So this is how it worked for my first class. I post my handout on WebCT before class, and this handout contained all the theoretical points. So I didn't have to waste time during class, you know, writing notes and having the students copy these notes for the theoretical parts. And then some parts were only partially solved. So whenever I had a calculation example, for example, I'd leave that, you know, blank or partially solved. And so the students would show up with this handout to class. They could read it before class, get ready. And then during class, I basically ink these notes. So here's what I would have before class. So So you have the lecture that's posted before class, the handout. And then after class, you could save all your ink annotations, and so you could post that also after class. Okay, so here 5.1 ink is like the inked version of that handout. And so if anybody missed class, if they missed something during the lecture, they could download this handout and, you know, follow along. So here is an example of a partially solved handout. Then after it's being inked, you could see there could be some interaction. I could ask questions, and then I could post this after class. The other tool I want to talk about is screencasting. So first of all, what's screencasting? It's a recording of your computer screen with audio narration. And you could even include a webcam view also in that. So all you need is screen capturing software. So here at McGill, we're fortunate enough to have this Camtasia software available to us for free if you're a faculty member. And then you need a microphone. Okay, so that's maybe... Excuse me. That's maybe a $10, $15 investment. And then you could use a tablet PC. It could help. That's not necessary. So the steps is you record or capture your screen. You edit the video and audio. So if there's something you don't like, you could take it out. Then with a few clicks of a button, you produce or share this recording in a number of formats. So any format you could think of, any shareable format, you could do that. It's very simple to use. So here's an example where I use this software. So we had a software that we had to use in our class, and I had 103 students, so I could explain this software in class and have them write notes and follow along. But a more effective way is that I could develop a recording of me using this software, and the students can follow along in the convenience of their home, and then try the software and listen at the same time. So it's a very convenient way of doing things. So here's an example. I'll just wait for it to load. Okay, so it's basically a video. Okay, you can see me using the software and explaining how it's used with commentary, and so they could follow along. They could pause this. Okay, so they could pause, try it themselves, come back, replay. So it's a very useful type of tool. The problem that I found is at the beginning I was... yes?
Just one question. How long are the snippets that you usually show them?
Oh, they're much longer. So that was just a small snippet. But maybe that was a 30-minute recording. So that's what I'm getting to now. Is the disadvantage of this video is you had to download it. So I posted it on WebCT. People had to download it. And so it took a long time to download. People liked it, but you know, I started to think of another option. So the option I thought of is streaming video. So we all know about YouTube, these types of sites. These are streaming video sites where you just click a button, nothing to download, and it streams you the video. And so what I use is this website called screencast.com. What's good about this website is it's made by the same developers of Camtasia. So there's seamless functionality between the two things. So here's the steps. So actually, first, where did I use this? I used this in my second course, so in the winter course. What happened is all the students in this course have to take a practical tutorial session. But all the students registered for other courses during this tutorial session that was planned by McGill. And so I had 60 students that couldn't attend the tutorial session. So the solution I came up with was to use online video tutorials. Yeah, as you can think about it, it was a risky step because I hadn't seen anybody use this before, and the students were very reluctant at the beginning, but I said, hey, this is my first teaching experience. I could try whatever I want and people won't blame me. So I said, let me try this. So you would log into this site. There's a free option and there's a paying option. So I went into the paying option so I could get unlimited bandwidth and transfer. And what you do is you create an account. Then you upload the video you're interested in using Camtasia. Then there's a button here. You click it and it's a share button. It gives you different formats where you could share the video. So one thing I used is it gives you a web link to this video that you just uploaded. Then you go onto WebCT, you announce it, you say video tutorial number 4 has been posted, it's 20 minutes long, click this link. So the students just click this link and maybe you have a handout that goes with this video. Then the students click the link, so maybe this link is embedded in the video, in the link that I showed you before, so over here. So it show up like this, but embedded in this video tutorial number 4 is the actual video link. Okay, so I just come here, if I'm a student, I have my handout in front of me. I click this, nothing to download. And there we go, the video shows up. I press play. Okay, and I use this with the tablet PC, so you could see there's the recording as if I'm in class explaining it to them with the audio and also with the ink annotations. And they could rewind, pause, forward. And these were about 20, These were about 20 to 30 minute videos every week. Then you might think, how do I know if the students are keeping up? So right in this website, you have this here. It tells you the number of views that your video is at. So what's good, instead, it's not like YouTube, it's restricted. So the only people who could access this video is the people you give the link to. And so you could see. So I have 114 views, I have 63 students, so I'm sure some people listen to it, and some people even twice. So I'm sure people are keeping up. It was also useful, sometimes I posted a long video, and I saw a little bit of people that accessed it, so I knew that a long video doesn't work. So it gives you a little feedback. In addition to this, I held an optional Q&A session, which was 1 hour per week. So if students had questions, they could show up to class and ask me questions. Here's another thing that I'm thinking of using. I used it a couple of times, but I haven't used it a lot, is the use of video answers. So sometimes you get a discussion forum post. So a student posts something on the discussion forums, and if you're in engineering or a design class, you could explain it in words, but sometimes you can't. So you tell the students, come see me during the office hours. But instead of this, you could use something called video answers. It's using a software called Jing. Again, this is by the same developers of Camtasia. It's basically a watered-down version of Camtasia. So Camtasia has a small learning curve. It's not that difficult to learn, but this has maybe a one-minute learning curve. You'll see it's very easy to use. But the limitation is it's a five-minute video maximum. And it's very easy to use, and it's free, even if you're not a McGill faculty member. So the steps is you start the video capture. You upload the video with one click to screencast.com. You share the web link. The student clicks the video and he views the answer. He doesn't read the answer, he views the answer, just like I showed you before. And I'll show you how I did this. So here's an example. Let's say a student in my class, it's right before exam time, and he tells me, how do you get 1,700 kilonewtons for the footing design example on page 20 of lecture 5? I don't get it. Okay, so let's see how I'd answer it. So I'd open my lecture 5, page 20 handout on my computer. And what I did, go back. So I did a recording of me using Jing. Okay, so it's a recording of a recording. Because I don't have my laptop here. So let's imagine this is my desktop. Okay, here are the steps that I take. First thing I do is I open this handout, lecture 5, page 20. I open Jing, okay, the software that I just talked about. There you go. Takes some time to load. Then, within the software, it gives you an option to capture a part of your screen. So here I'm going to capture the part that I'm interested in. So here's lecture 5, page 20. I'm interested in what the student was asking for. So I captured that area. I pressed the capture video button. Then, just like a director, it gives me a countdown. Then when it stops counting down, it starts recording my audio and my ink annotations, because I'm using a tablet PC. And so I'm explaining to the students, okay, here's 1,000 kilonewtons, here's 3,000 kilonewtons, here's how you get your answer. So it takes some time here. Yeah, let's say explain it. There we go, 1,700 kilonewtons, 30 seconds. I'm done. I press the stop button. Then I could give my video a name. Then you see this button here. It's an upload button. You click this button, it uploads directly to screencast.com, because when you set up this Jing, it's going to ask you to set up a free screencast.com account. And there we go, it's uploading. No, it's not complex at all. Takes some time. There we go, it's done uploaded. Now I have the option to share the link that I talked about, exactly the same way as I said before. So let me go back to PowerPoint. Oops. Uh-oh. Okay, that's what you get with software. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. I didn't like my video upload. Yeah, sure.
So this is all great, and you've got basically the whole lecture, if you want, available for people to download. Do you see that some people say, well, why do I bother coming to the lecture assessment and just download it?
Mm-hmm. So I didn't use it for the main lectures. I just used it for the tutorial parts. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, so you have to... Basically, you have to, if you're a good teacher, people will still come to class. So that's what I found. So when I first introduced, I was a little bit reluctant, but I still found people showed up to class. So you have to think about it. So I didn't have everything on the web. Stop 10 minutes. That's good. Hopefully it shows up. I actually heard about it recently. I was on the Camtasia website and they had a link, so... I just
right?
Yeah, so they have a lot of stuff on. So I found out Screencast from Camtasia, and I found about Jing from, because the same developers, so they're going to have links for it.
Because so. Once you download it and install Camtasia on your computer, you can check a little box to allow them to take newsletters, and they always collect a note you new functions or updates or new uses, and it's a nice way to start.
Yes. Okay. Okay, hopefully it works now. Okay. Okay, we're here. So I just showed you how to use the software. I'm scared to click this link. But basically what I do on the forum, I say, hi, please click the following link to see your answer to your question. So I don't know if I should try this. Okay, let's test our luck. If it doesn't work, we'll just end there. So anyways, the video should pop up quickly. And you'd get the recording of what I recorded in terms of the video answer. So let's wait a bit. Okay, so you you upload this to the website there, screencast.com. And so everything is saved on their server. It's basically like a FTP server where you upload everything. It's not liking my uploads. But here we go. Okay, so here's the video that I just created. Okay, so you'd have audio. I didn't record any audio, but it's basically what I showed you before. So the student can click this and he could see the answer to the question. Okay. The last tool I want to talk about, do you have time? Okay, so the last tool I want to talk about is the use of online surveys. So at McGill, we're fortunate enough to have the Mercury course evaluation tool, which is very useful to get feedback. The disadvantage that I find is that you have the same generic questions for every survey that goes up. Also, you can't get specific, so because of that, you can't get specific feedback, and the results are only known after the course. So if you want to ask, get feedback about something during the middle of the course, it's a little bit difficult. So the tool I used is something called SurveyMonkey.com. It's a funny name, basically because it's very simple to use. And it's free. If you want to get, if you have 100, up to 100 students in your course, you could get feedback on your survey for up to 100 responses. And you can ask specific questions on things you want to know. So what I did is I set up a survey for the video tutorials. We just talked about this. I used these video tutorials in the last course I taught, which just finished this past Friday. And so I don't have the results from Mercury yet. So what I did is last week, I posted a link on WebCT. I told the students, this is a voluntary survey on the video tutorials. If you want to respond to it, it takes you 5 minutes. And then I got 44 students that responded in 1 week out of 63, which is more than the Mercury, how much I had for Mercury. So as long as it's easy and accessible to the students, they'll do it. So, and to set up this, it took me 10 minutes. I never used this survey site before. And to set it up, it took me 10 minutes, completely online. You don't need any software or anything. So here's an example of what the student would get if he clicks the link. So very simple questions, three questions, multiple choice. You set this up quickly. And I had a comment box. What do you think about the video tutorials? So let's see the answers from the students. Before that, on this website, as soon as somebody completes a survey, you get an update here. And then you have this button here, which is to analyze the results. Okay, so I have 44 results. I could analyze them. And so it presents it in a graph format. So here's one question. Some people might have found the tutorials a little long. What do you think is an ideal length for a weekly video tutorial? So out of 44 students, you see nobody likes the long ones. Most people like this intermediate length. And what I found is maybe a 20 to 30 minute video tutorial is ideal. Because people are going to listen to it, they're going to pause, they're going to rewind. It takes double the time to actually listen to the video. Here's a question asking if they found this video tutorial to be beneficial. So out of 44 students, 42 found it was a very good learning tool. And this is the key question. I asked, if this course was offered again, would you recommend the use of video tutorials as opposed to regular in-class tutorials? So I had two answers here that say, yes, we want the video tutorials, and a couple of answers saying that we want a regular class tutorial. So nobody chose the regular class tutorial, 100% for the video tutorials. And then what's even more fascinating is out of the 44 that said we want video tutorials, 27 said they would it would be enough without a weekly in-class tutorial. So just the video tutorials alone. So it seems it was accepted by the students. So here's some comments. I said there was a comment box. Here's one comment. The best online tool I've ever seen used. It's very convenient, which is and you could own at your own you could learn it at your own pace. So you could do it any time of day, whenever you have some free time. You have 20 minutes free, you could listen to it. And here's one, I like this one. It says you could, it's like traveling back in time, because let's say you listen to it in week 3, and then you could come back and listen to it before the final exam, for example. So it's that's the advantage of it. So that was my presentation. Sorry for the lag. Okay, is there any questions?
Yes. Can SubMonkey be embedded in a website, or does it have to be filled on its own website?
It's filled on its own website. Once you're done filling the survey and designing it, it gives you a link that you could share to them. So what I did is I posted the link on WebCT. They click the link, it takes them to the website directly, and they fill it there.
But how do they have a kind of an authentication to it?
No. All they do is click the link.
Okay. So you have to kind of send them a specific link.
Yeah, so I just, I don't know if I have here. Okay, I won't show it. But basically on my courses, I just posted, a text link. They don't even have to see the web link. They just say, click this for the survey. They click it and it goes directly.
I had the same issue. I wanted to ask the large class about how they thought about the TAs at the conference. There was nothing there. But I just tried the survey tool on my courses, too. And so that you can do without any of that. Of course, you don't get exactly the analysis. It's a little funky to kind of deal with the data afterwards. But it's actually even easier to set up. You set it up just the same as the quiz.
Yeah, maybe that works. Because I'm new to teaching, so I don't know all these tools, so that may be even easier. So it's good. We have a lot of tools that we could use with my courses, for sure.
You said that you have to do the screen cap was available for free or pay for a certain bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Can I ask how much it costs for the bandwidth?
I think it was $10 or $15 per month, and you get 3,000 gigabytes of bandwidth, which is more than enough. Yeah, out of my pocket, but it's a good investment, I thought. So because I had 63 students and the videos are quite large, so I didn't want to limit the bandwidth. But you could get by with the free one if you have a smaller class, for example. Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.